Hello and welcome to episode number 363 of the Super Horror Bros podcast. I'm your host Matt, and joining me as always is my brother Mike.
Hello.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
We are back after a fun little time talking about some Wes Craven last week, which is always a good time. Yes. And obviously it was our sort of last proper film for that list, which is crazy that we finally finished it. So hopefully people have checked that one out, because not only did we talk, you know, mostly about My Soul to Take, but we kind of did like a big sort of post-mortem, I guess you could call it, at the end.
Conclusion.
Yeah, where we kind of did like a mini roundup of a lot of the films and talking obviously about the completed list for now and some potential epilogue material. So that was great. But yeah, we're back to our normal grind this week. Seeing a movie that we kind of has been out for a little bit that we both wanted to see after seeing the trailer a few months back, which is The Blackening, which we'll get to shortly. And obviously we're very close to some big releases now, just a few weeks away from the new Saw.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, it's like the marketing is really ramping up, where I keep seeing it on buses again now. And obviously like online and TV, it's got a heavy presence. So like they're really pushing this. And it looks good. So fingers crossed. It's like they've finally figured it out. Like even just seeing it on a bus saying Saw X with like that person with the tubes on their face, like it's just, it sells itself. Like everyone knows what Saw is, so like why on earth would you release Saw movies that aren't called Saw? Like it's just, it's so brain dead from like a marketing standpoint, let alone the fact that it was just a bad decision anyway.
You know, it's wild. You know, I think we've spoken about it a lot, but it is wild when you think I could see when we're in the height of getting them every year, maybe try and mix it up a bit. But when you're like coming back after a decade and you're like, oh yeah, I'm not going to call it a Saw movie, I'm like, I'll get the fuck out. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
No, it's just a terrible, terrible decision. Like, so you've got to then remind people what Saw is, establish that this is a Saw movie not called Saw, and then be like, oh yeah, and it's, but it's something different as well. Like they were just trying so many different things, whereas like say this feels a lot more simple to obviously bring back Tobin as the sort of lead role for the first time in a very long time. With him being the lead, so yep, very, very excited for that one. But yeah, news this week, there's only one news item that I could find worth talking about, and it's, this is a weird one actually, because we're right on the edge of we're right on the edge of the return of Chucky very soon. I didn't expect it to be in the news, but this is a strange one, and it's like, I mean, it's strange for many reasons, but for me it's weird how late they decided to tell us this, because it's like you guys must have known about this for a while and you're only just now. I mean, there's been trailers out there, and you know, we knew the release date when it was coming out, and now they've just been like, by the way, this is a bit of a shitter. So, yeah, obviously season 3 returns on October 4th, airing weekly like it normally does. What's that?
I'm going to get upset, aren't I?
Well, it's just a weird one. So, yeah, it is returning on October 4th, but not all of it, because apparently the season 3 is not done, which this is where it gets into so many little wrinkles, because, like, everyone's reporting it's presumably because of the strikes right now, but they haven't come out and said anything, which is already like annoying, because you just have to assume so much here. So like we can either assume that or not. I don't think it's too relevant to this individual story. But what we do know is that we're getting 4 episodes, and then the remainder, assuming another 4 sometime next year in 2024. Which, again, I know I'm kind of being very down right now, but, like, 4 episodes feels like nothing, especially if something like Chucky. I feel like you've just kind of get going into, like, the new season, and it's just going to end. And I feel like they probably haven't prepared. Like, it's probably not going to feel like a mid-season break anyway, which I also think is nonsense, because Chucky is, like, a relatively small show. We're not talking about something like Stranger Things that is, like, got so much going on and, you know, a whole plethora of other big shows, where they could pull that off because there's a lot going on. It's Chucky. Like, it's a very simplistic thing that we very much enjoy for what it is. You know, we really hope that season three is a return to form after a fairly, you know, inconsistent, to say the least, season two. And now they're saying, like, oh, yeah, we've only got four episodes. And if, again, we are to assume it's because of the strike, which is what everyone is just assuming right now because they're not fully telling us the whole story, to me, that's even worse because it's not looking great and people need to stay strong out there. And this could last potentially this time next year going into, you know, another year beyond that. So I think to release half anything right now is absurd. Like, I'm frustrated that we're gonna have to wait for Stranger Things, we're gonna have to wait for Rings of Power, I'm currently waiting for Severance. Like, these are already annoying, but I'd rather just wait until they're ready. Whereas this feels like they're going, we kind of got some of it out, let's strike while the iron's hot. Because, yeah, who knows when the rest of this is going to get finished, if it's because of the strike, which, again, we're only assuming.
The other elephant in the room is
if it gets cancelled.
Exactly. I can only speak for our own reception of the last series of Chucky, and considering we are, like, in the 1% of, like, people that love Chucky.
Yeah.
And we really didn't like that last season that strongly, you know. So if these four episodes come out and they suck, like, is that it? Do we get Chucky cancelled mid season and never come back and get any? That's terrifying because it was already fairly wild to me that this got greenlit as cleanly as it did.
Yeah.
So you know, that's my concern that we get to a world where we get four episodes of Chucky and that's it.
I think that's an absolute reality and something and is a huge possibility. Like, I think that's a really good point to make, is that, yeah, this for me was a show that was very lucky to get a third season. I was very thankful for, but I was extremely shocked given that, like you said, I don't think there's, like, a huge fan base at this point. But then you're dividing that dwindling fan base each time by releasing a not-so-stellar season two off the back of a very awesome season one, to then do this where it's like, are you really going to let people be hyped for Return of Chucky, only release half the season, then hope that they'll return? Let's just say this comes back in May. Are people still going to care? Are we still going to remember where we're at 6 months later?
It's wild, isn't it?
It's very strange. Like, I feel like this just kind of got put out there of, like, and again, I just don't really see the reception too much, and certainly not with something like Chucky that I think does have a smaller audience. But I didn't really see people be like, huh? Which was, like, my initial reaction when I read this. You know, this wasn't when Netflix did their whole blowout of Stranger Things and they announced the final season, they announced the two dates for the two parts of the current season and all that stuff. Like, it was so clear what the plan was. And again, I know that was a pre-strike world, but, like, if this is because of strike, they should have just said, look, season three will hopefully be ready when it's ready, but we can't do it right now because of the strike. I think if they'd have said that, everyone would have understood.
Yeah.
Like I say, like, no one would have said, like, oh, boo-hoo, give me my show now. And if they'd have said, well, there's only half of it, I'd be like, oh, yeah, give me that half. Like, no. Surely no one's that selfish and greedy. Like, we all know that there's a massive shift going on right now in the entertainment industry that is very, very important. And if us having to wait an extra year or two for our favorite TV shows to return, then so be it. But, like, this is just such a strange call, I think. So, yeah, I don't even, it really bums me out as well, because Chucky's one of those shows that I love watching week to week and having those chats. But I know for a fact that if we weren't doing this podcast, there is no way on earth I'd watch half a season of the show. Like, just no way. If I was just a fan right now,
I know.
Even as a huge Chucky fan, yeah, I'd just be like, four episodes, I'm good. Yeah, I'll get them, and then I'll wait, and then whenever they're all out, I'll watch them, and I'll enjoy it. Because, yeah, watching four episodes weekly and then not knowing, like I say, it's not even if they just said February it's back. We don't know. There's no date. Which, again, Chucky is so based upon Halloween, so maybe they're already aiming for Halloween. Like, god, who knows, man. Real bummer. I really didn't want to have to talk this negatively about Chucky so close to its return. But it is what it is, we have to be honest. And yeah, this is just a bad call, I think. Like you say, if it's not ready, that sucks as a fan perspective, but just delay it, you know. So we shall see. That maybe, who knows, like, we're still a couple of weeks away from this, so I'll have to really reconsider what I want to do. Like, I still want to watch it, but I just know for my own personal enjoyment, I probably would have had a better time. And that's what I'd recommend people do as well. Like, it sucks that I'm recommending people to not watch the new season, but that's what I would do if I didn't, you know, if I didn't have this podcast.
I think that's the thing that's disappointing about it is that, you know, it's just hard to get excited about it. And yeah, if these four episodes are banger and then the rest of the season is incredible, you know, then great. But it is just, you know, it just does feel weird. And especially, you know, as much as we laugh and joke over the years about Walking Dead, that had one of the most terrible, you know, really, truly terrible releases of seasons, where it was like one of the seasons just went on for about 4.5 years. You know, and I just was, you know, it just made no sense. And like, yeah, ultimately, when you're watching the show, does it really matter? But it's just incredibly jarring. And it's like with this, yeah, you know, we could, you know, we're probably talking, you know, what's the minimum gap between episode 4 ended and episode 5 beginning for Chucky?
Yeah, I think at least 4 months is like a minimum.
Yeah, and I think that's outrageous. And with the landscape of things right now, incredibly unlikely.
Yeah.
You know, and so it could easily be 12, 18 months.
Yeah, I'm really confused by this. Like, I want to actually do some more digging because I've just kind of read this on the face of it and gone with it with the news. But the more I think about it, the more I think, like, especially because they haven't come out and said it's because of the strike. Everyone is assuming that and almost using that as like a shield, is like, oh, well, you know, you can't criticize Chucky because this other thing has happened. But like, I really want to just be like, did they just not have the shit ready? Like, season 3 got greenlit so late, as we recall, like into this year, where we had both just thought like, oh yeah, the show's done. And we'd both said like, I'd rather they just at least say it's done rather than we just wait. And it's one of those, like, I remember, was it Hannibal, I think, was the one, or did that get canceled? There was one of these shows where people just every few years, or like Mindhunter is a good example currently on Netflix right now, of like, it's never been officially canceled, but we pretty much know it's not coming back because David Fincher has just said, like, yeah, it just takes up too much of his time for like how many people actually like it, which sucks because Mindhunter is fucking awesome. But I didn't want it to be like that if we're just in this gray area. So they announced the season 3, which was great, but they announced it, I want to say, in like April or something. Like, it was very late on, and then straight into pre-production. And of course, by that point, it was just before the strike started as well. So who knows?
That's what's weird, though. Like, what isn't ready? Like, do we have scripts, but because we don't have actors right now, or do we not have scripts or actors, or
it could be that
is this just an excuse, you know?
It's
it's very strange.
I could see it being that, what you just said, of like, because we obviously, this has become so much more bigger than just the writing at this point, and it's why, so I was reading that it's the reason why Dune Part 2 has currently been delayed, because that was supposed to be coming out obviously this year, and it's not
right now. They've got some reshoots or something.
No, it's because the actors won't be able to promote the film right now. Obviously that has huge stars in it, like Zendaya and Timothy Chalamet and people, like, they need those people out there talking about Dune, you know, so it makes sense that why they've literally pulled it, just for marketing reasons. Like, that movie is 100% done. So yeah, that's another like fascinating wrinkle to this whole situation. But yeah, very interesting one indeed. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about that one in the future. But yeah, shall we talk about this week's film?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about The Blackening. So yeah, I'm trying to remember when we first heard about this one. It was on my radar, like, definitely at the start of the year.
Yeah, like, I mean, I remember the trailer more than anything, seeing the trailer for the first time and being like, oh, okay, this kind of looks fun.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the thing, like, when I initially heard of it and heard the premise and stuff, I was a bit like, oh, I don't know if it, like, whether this is going to work and what really is it going to be. And I think the first trailer that we saw did a really good job of giving you, you know, arguably the best humor from the whole movie and kind of telling you what it's all about. And Yeah, I remember post seeing the first trailer thinking, oh, okay, I'm quite excited for this. Like, it could be, this could be quite funny.
Yeah, I remember the same. Like, I remember sort of vaguely hearing about it and being like, oh, okay, that could be cool, but I'm not sure it's something I'd be into. But then, yeah, when we saw the trailer and it got me, I was laughing in the cinema multiple times at the trailer, which is rare because normally I don't even try and watch trailers. So the fact that it grabbed my attention enough to watch it and be engaged enough to find its humor funny, I was like, oh, we definitely need to see this. So, yeah, this is clearly a comedy horror hybrid. But, yeah, what is The Blackening about?
Oh, The Blackening. It's a strange movie. Where I think, you know, because the biggest thing is that off the bat, like, is this more of a comedy spoof or is this more of a horror movie with comedy?
Yeah.
You know, because I think we have, you know, there's two very different distinctions there. You know, is it a scary movie or even, say, Shaun of the Dead, or is it, you know, a whole plethora of horror movie that you know, Happy Death Day and things like that, where it's like,
yeah,
you've got these funny moments, but it is a horror movie, you know. I was trying to think, what the hell is that Vince Vaughn one? That was one I was trying to think of.
Oh, Freaky, yeah.
Freaky, yeah, those sorts
of
ones.
I was thinking,
you know,
of Violent Night, which is like, it's a great horror film that is funny.
I mean,
whereas this is the opposite.
Yeah, Violent Night's a weird one where it's almost 50-50.
Yeah.
But yeah, this to me definitely is a comedy that is centered around a horror movie, you know, clearly a horror movie trope and a horror movie situation. You know, this isn't like us getting into the genre of it. It's just to give like an idea of where they're coming from with it, because I think that's important.
Yeah, even if you look at the title and obviously the poster, which says "We can't all die first,"
yeah,
you
brilliant.
Know, so it's immediately playing into that joke, which has, you know, been long running of the black character dying first in the horror film, and that's kind of like the best jumping off point I think of this film, is like that's a very specific trope about black characters in horror films, and then this kind of just pulls all of those from like all different types of films, all different caricatures, all different tropes, a lot to do with like more focused on black culture but also just horror in general, really. And just tries to lampoon them all in the most sort of comedic way possible, really.
Yeah, and basically the kind of plot of this is that a group of, I think it's seven friends, go away to stay in this cabin. It seems like they're a group of, like, it's almost like a school reunion where they're these group of friends, but they haven't met for years, and or some of them haven't met for years anyway. Some are closer than others, and yeah, they got this cabin for the weekend, and kind of the opening scene we see the two people kind of play this game, that they end up going to the game room, and there's this very strange game called The Blackening, which is this it's almost Jumanji like board game, but then instead of like the mystic kind of ball in the middle, you have a incredibly weird blackface
Jumanji but racist.
Basically it's racist Jumanji. And very quickly our characters, when they play the game, although they don't start playing the game until probably half an hour into the movie.
Yeah, like when they start playing it properly, yeah.
Yeah, like post-opening scene, we then get back to the game about half an hour in, and it is, almost Saw-like with the trap, like you must play the game or someone will die, and if you lose, you all die, and there is no way to seemingly win.
Very Saw-like, in fact, because we have like a voice talking to them.
Yeah.
We have footage on a video screen as well.
Yeah, exactly. All of those things. But I think ultimately the comedy, because I think like all of that horror stuff, like it was a decent setup, and I think the jokes that were in the trailer really kind of, you know, quite landed with me, and thought, oh, that's going to be, you know, they're going to get the comedy right, and then we're going to get some horror in there. And ultimately, this movie does really lean into the comedy, and it just felt like dumb more than funny. I don't know how often I laughed outside of the jokes that are in the trailer, and just just started to roll my eyes more than anything. And then I got to the point that I wasn't even rolling my eyes anymore. And I was just sick and tired of characters making dumb decisions and doing dumb things. And I think ultimately, like, that could be on me, that I was wanting more of a horror movie than a comedy. But just every time we got to, like, any scene where we were going to potentially get horror or a cat and mouse or anything like that, it just went really silly. But I just didn't find it funny. And I think there was, like, the clearest... I don't want to give it credit to say that the movie wanted it to be intentional, but it was, like, so obvious who was going to be the killer.
Yeah.
But I'm like, did the movie want it to be obvious? Like, I don't know whether it did or didn't, or whether it was just that stupid. You know, there is one character that's not like the others, and it's just, like, yeah, so ridiculous. And yeah... By the end of it, I was very ready for it to end, really. I didn't, like I said, I think the horror, the setup is very horror. And throughout the whole movie, the whole cat and mouse and this board game and these killers and everything else is very horror movie-ish. But just there's no real horror movie or suspense in here. And then it's a case of, okay, is it a good comedy? And for me, like, it absolutely didn't land. Like I said, I don't remember many jokes outside of the trailer landing, apart from the very end when they're all kind of like having a little chat and we get a couple of post credit scenes. Like, I found a couple of them a bit funny, but I really didn't find a lot in this funny. And I think ultimately this movie needs to be judged more as a comedy horror than a horror comedy. And yeah, it really didn't deliver on both.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, like you say, you have to make the distinction right off the bat about what type of the actual genre of this film. Because, again, when you talk about comedy horror, that is such a huge umbrella that encompasses so many different films at this point. And so, like you say, you have to really immediately say, no, this is a comedy that is leaning into horror tropes. And that's where a lot of its comedy is. But it's never trying to be a horror film. Never. It's using tropes of there's a killer and oh, he's going to get back up. And oh, let's all pick weapons in the house that are all, you know, to varying degree of stupidity. And, you know, all of these classic tropes, you know, again, like we saw a lot of these same gags in Scary Movie back in the day. And I feel like there's a lot of Scary Movie DNA over this film. Where it really did remind me of that, the type of film that was made in that era, which was actually something I really liked about this film and just found it so endearing of, like, this didn't feel like a 2023 film at all. It just feels like movies like this aren't made anymore because it is so stupid. And I feel like we are a lot more serious now, and it's very hard to just put out a ludicrously dumb comedy. But the horror doesn't, like you say, it's not going for that. It's just there as the dressings of a comedy. And so we are in a weird predicament because then it's like, okay, so what did you think of the comedy? And I think it's totally fair for you to say that obviously you didn't find it that funny. I didn't find it massively funny. I probably found it more funny. But I agree that, like, by far the best jokes are in the trailer. And it's such a shame because that is hilarious. It's so funny. And it did get me again watching it here. And it is that classic thing of you get the same set up, which for people that haven't seen in the trailer, it's like one of the games they play where it's like, oh, the black character always dies first. You have to choose who's the blackest and they're going to die. Cool. And like, it's such a good premise for comedy because you then have these seven characters all, you know, debating and pushing each other down and trying to, you know, diminish their qualities. And it just, there's so much good comedy there. And so, yeah, some of the jokes are from the trailer, but there's still loads in there, like the guy with the gun and the guy with the white wife and stuff. Like, there's so many good jokes in there. Like, that whole section was awesome. But it's just such a shame that that energy isn't carried over, because then there'll be, like, long stretches of the movie. Like, there's a part where they split up which again is like a trope that they use and they lean into, and that setup is funny of them, you know, announcing they need to set up and stuff, you know, very self-aware of the horror tropes. But then once we do split up the gang, it lost so much of its charm for me. And luckily they're not separate for too long. They kind of then find a reason to put them all back together. But that's when it really, that sort of 20 minutes or whatever it was, really dragged, because I was like, man, I liked this group together because they were all so different, and you would have a lot more variety in the comedy, where you wouldn't know who would say the next dumb one-liner because there's seven people in a room. Whereas once you then split them off into twos and threes, I feel like that really limits the comedy. And some of the characters that I found funny in the group, when they were in like a duo or a trio, weren't funny at all, which I found to be a problem. So again, you know, we're talking about comedy here a lot because that's what this is. And it's a shame because I think that what we've seen recently, even though something like Violent Night is clearly going a lot more to be a horror film, but like you can do both if you strive to it and want to achieve that. And I think it's purely an intent, because what they had in here in terms of the horror was decent, but it just, they didn't care enough about it, where they pretty much have one thing they continually use, which is like the crossbow, which is cool. And it's like a unique twist. You know, it's not just a dude with a knife running around, and that stuff does look good, but they very much, they were like, okay, we know how to make an arrow going into someone look decent, so we're just going to use that for the whole film. And there's almost no use of any sort of violence or any sort of threat in the entire film that isn't from a crossbow.
If the killer got too close, he'd be so confused as to what to do.
Yeah, you see that in the film as well, which again, that does at least make sense, you know, that these are like pretty incompetent people. There's even a point where he's like, oh, you don't even know how to fight, which is another good joke. So yeah, it's a weird one, because I do think it's probably slightly too long as well. Like, I really want my comedies especially to be shorter. Not that this is like super long, but it just would have been nice to get to, like I say, there's such an obvious quote-unquote twist, and it would have been nice to get to that a bit quicker, because I'm really happy it turned out to be correct, because I was totally with you of like, the second this started, I was like, oh, well, he's the one, you know. And like, maybe that's just like the Scary Movie super fan in me, where I was like, oh, I want them to do their version of Scary Movie, which I think is what they were going for. And so I was happy with that. But yeah, it was a weird one. Like, I think it mostly delivered what I wanted, in the sense of, I thought this would just be a really dumb comedy. Which I think it was, and I think that they clearly pulled that off, and I would have a good time with it. But yeah, if it was something that I would really like and continually want to watch in the future, it would need to also have the horror element to then go into that category of good comedy horrors, because like, when I remember this going forward, all I'm going to remember is some good jokes. There's not going to be a single moment of horror. I'll forget at some point there was even a killer, and there was even like a whole game, you know, and choosing, because that's like ultimately what the film should have been about. Like, the game part goes, again, is just comedy. Like, that whole bit when they're doing the question and answers, again, I think that's really funny, that first time they like reintroduce the game.
I think, you know, that's the thing, they could have been cooler challenges and stuff and different things with the game, and like, you know, characters dying because of that, whereas, you know, essentially the game is like, has these fun moments, they answer some questions right, and then they just get asked who's the blackest, and then they just keep reverting back to that throughout the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I did find that disappointing, because, yeah, the game could have been more cool. You know, I especially liked it when they were like, name a black character that survived a horror movie.
I can't even know, like, probably the I don't even know what the character's name is. He doesn't live, never mind. I would have went for Chris from Get Out.
I went for Mindy and Chad.
Yeah, oh yeah, nice.
Or four, baby.
But yeah, I do think there is, like you say, there's some cool stuff in there. And I feel like, I think also it is worth noting that I think this isn't for me. Like, this, like, a movie like The Craft Legacy is a similar one where I watch it and I enjoyed it, but I know that was made for a female audience. And this is clearly made for the black audience. Like, there's no doubt about it, because there's, and again, I found enjoyment in it, but there is like, there was I was surprised at the amount of references that I just didn't get. There was like words or names of things where I was like, I don't know what that is. And like, I have a fairly good grasp on like references usually, but like, I was stunned by the amount of things that I even Googled a couple of them to be like, are these just things they're making up? But they were things that I just hadn't heard of. So I was like, oh, okay, no, this is definitely made. And maybe that's more of like, it could be an American thing as well, but it's definitely made for a Black American audience. And I think that this is one of those films that I'm sure would have teared the roof off if you were in like a Black audience in America watching this, because people are going to love all of the references and jokes. And like I say, I still had a good time with it, even though it's like a white guy from England watching it. And I feel like I'm not the target audience for this. So it was mostly what I wanted. Like, I think comedy wise, it was cool. I just would have liked a bit more horror. If it was something that I would have, like, say, then really enjoyed and really wanted to champion. But failing that, it's like, yeah, it's a cool comedy, but now I've heard the jokes, I could never watch this again, because, like I say, the best jokes were already in the trailer, and now I've heard all the rest of them that were, like, good the first time. But it would grate on me more now, not knowing this wouldn't that it doesn't be deliver like the other stuff.
You know, like, Scary Movie that you can watch over and over again with the jokes. It's like,
yeah,
and I think that's the problem, that the... Because you said the jokes from the trailer kind of did land second time round, and they kind of did for me, but definitely, like, you know, you talk of, like, you know, cinema drop off, like, week one to week two. That's kind of what happened with me with this these jokes, that, like, because it was a second time hearing them, they just landed significantly less.
Yeah, they definitely did. I was like waiting for the Trump joke, because it's like, it's such a good joke in the trailer. And it's like, it's a shame, because in that moment in the film, it would have killed me, but I was just waiting for him to say it, you know? So I agree with you. Like, that's such a difficult thing to pull off, really, is like, especially when you've seen, you know, we notoriously don't watch trailers, but it's a shame because it's like, we probably wouldn't have watched this film had we not enjoyed the trailer.
No, exactly.
Yeah, I also now wish I hadn't seen the trailer, because I would have enjoyed it slightly more.
But I think as well, like, you know, we talk a lot about trailers and from a horror sense, but I think trailers for comedies are like just so difficult.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're going to ruin a load of the jokes in it, you know, it makes it so difficult. But then if you don't tell some of the jokes, you're not getting the idea of the comedy, you know. And it's just, you know, I think with horror, you can see the stalking and see the premise without going too far into the movie. And our problem is, you've got to, you know, horror movie trailers have to stop that and not give us too much. And then you can still deliver a good trailer. But with, you know, you can't just deliver a setup without a punchline of a joke, you know, it just doesn't work that way. So, you know, I think comedy trailers are even more difficult to achieve than horror. And we already have a huge problem with horror.
Yeah, and I think that they ultimately did the right decision of, like, they had to put those banger jokes in the trailer. Like, say, that part of the movie when they're having to choose who's the blackest, that is, like, the funniest joke. And it really is, like, the root of a lot of the comedy, like, say, because they keep going back to it. And it also has a very important, not to spoil anything, but, like, an important plot reason as well. So, you know, it's kind of like the entire reason why the film exists. So yeah, I don't blame them for putting it in there. But yeah, one like final sort of criticism as well, which again, we've kind of touched upon, but like in terms of the lack in the horror, this has like a laughably low body count, which again, like, I get what they're going for, because they have such a fun gang of characters that it does become less funny the less characters you have. And there's already the fact that I think one of the funniest characters is one of the only ones who's off screen for a considerable amount of time, was a downfall of the film. But that again is something that I think distinguishes something like Scary Movie, is like, it had great kills, it had consistent kills, and they were all hilarious as well. You know, whether it's like the girl being beheaded and still talking, or like the girl getting stuck in the like the cat flap in the garage, like all these such funny gags throughout the whole film that add to it, like I say. And I think the reason why I'm bringing up Scary Movie is clearly a a good thing about this film is, like, it did remind me of that. And, like, I haven't seen, again, we've covered comedy horror for this podcast, you know, many, many times.
Yeah, not something that's got, like, close to spoof. And I think that's, yeah, like, where this is, really.
Exactly. You know? I've never evoked Scary Movie for that reason, because there's nothing that we've seen has ever reminded me of Scary Movie. But this did. Like, in those wacky moments, in those funny bits, it did. But like you say, we're talking about a, you know, an all-time classic there, so it's clearly not going to get to that level. But I still had a fun time with it.
I really think, though, with that, like, this movie doesn't go full spoof, and I think that's the problem. Like, I needed to just cut away and see the killer getting high, and just, like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I really needed the dumb shit, whereas for me, it just felt like it was dumb, but it wasn't funny dumb. And I think, do you know what I mean? There's just that distinction when these characters are just, like, running around giving themselves like a jar of herbs as a weapon and stuff, that like that just didn't land for me. And and whereas if it had been like, you know, when she's got a gun, a knife and a banana and she picks up the banana, that's fucking hilarious and scary movie.
Yeah,
you know. And I don't know, there was just something about it where it was like it was dumb but not funny enough. Just so, you know, that example is really like the crux of it, where there were just multiple things like that. And I think as well, like, I definitely wasn't enjoying it as much as you by the sounds of it, but I was still enjoying the characters and did think they were a good bunch. You know, we get a lot of time with their, like, relationships and friendship group and everything else. And I was, you know, I was reasonably invested in it all. And I think not only do they get separated, like, for a chunk of the movie, but a couple of the characters get, like, really high and then just become not funny because they're just playing like high drones of themselves. And it was like, when it first happened, it was a bit funny, but one character in particular just stays completely high for like the rest of the movie.
And yeah, so like pretty much one of our leads as well.
And so she just becomes like just this passenger at that point. And you know, and she was really, you know, one of the leads, you know. And I just think, you know, that was a weird choice where I just feel like they could have done the gag and then gotten back. And I think that would have been better than it just been for the rest of the movie. Then just a lot of stoner jokes.
Yeah, I think that's a good part. I think it's Allison, which, yeah, I think she was probably the best character. And then up until that point. And then it was weird that, like, yeah, she just kind of almost gets written out of the film. Because, yeah, she's just like, oh, she's just off her face now. And that's like the, you know, it's very one note. Like, say, once you do that once, which they'd already done with another character, it was like, yep, that's funny. The character's on drugs. Cool. And then it's like, oh, now you're doing that with multiple characters now. Like, yeah, that was like, it's fun when you lean into the tropes because you're aware of it. But that's almost like a trope that they did without being self-aware that they were doing a trope. Of like, what you've actually just done now is made one of your more interesting dynamic characters become a one-note joke. And it's like, and I don't think you're aware enough to pull that off in a very meta way.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, when you've got a comedy like this, when dumb decisions are then made, you then wonder whether it's like intentionally dumb or not, like the whole killer thing and everything else. But I don't necessarily think it is, you know, whereas, you know, when you do talk Scary Movie, I think everything in that is intentional.
Yeah, definitely. It's a shame as well that, like, with the, like, the threat of the killer, there wasn't better comedy, because I really liked early on with the crossbow. Like, he basically shoots a guy twice, and I really liked that. It was so dumb, and the way that, like, every character ducks except the one who's already been hit, who's like turning around, like that joke really landed for me.
I did enjoy the whole, like, that. I think that is definitely my favorite part of the movie that wasn't like in the trailer. Just the whole, like, people getting shot multiple times and just, like, you know, that reminded me of, like, you know, Ace Ventura sort of comedy.
Yeah, definitely.
And I was definitely on board for that. Like, I kind of needed it to happen a few more times.
Well, yeah, like, they could have either just gone so hard with that, where he's the character who's just constantly getting the shit beat out of him, which could have been a funny recurring gag, or, which is a lot more harder to pull off because then you have to have, like, really good writing, is, like, in those each moments, have funny reasons why the killer is taking people down. And, like I say, aside from that bit, then it just reverts to, when I'm thinking to, like, the lake scene and stuff, it's just the killer stalking people with the crossbow, and it's not used in a comedic or funny way at all. It's just like, oh, he's just pointing at them and maybe he'll hit them or maybe he won't. And like, that's just not that interesting. Whereas, yeah, early on, it's...
If that character was like a porcupine by the end of the
Yeah, that would have been great. How he's just like, why does it always hit me? Yeah. Like, yeah, that would have been great.
That's the thing, like, this is a comedy, so like, he could just have like 12 sticking out of him.
Mm.
But it almost felt like they were scared, where they were like, oh, you've been hit like 2 or 3 times at this point. Like, we can't have that happen again. I'm like, man, just go large. Like I say, I want him to have like multiple ones and just, you know, just gets more and more ridiculous.
And that works as well if you're trying to do what they did, which is that they want to keep this gang together. So they have such a low body count. You know, you can fuck with people without killing them off. Like, and I think that's what they could have done, is like, everyone feels so safe throughout this film, to the point where
it felt like there was a threat of death.
No, they really didn't, because they win one-on-one fights incredibly easy, which is even referenced. And by the end of it, when like they're forced to play the game, they all just say, nah. They're just like, we just don't want to, and so it really does take the power away from the killer, which again I guess is what they're going for, because by the end of it, it's such a laughable threat that we have on display. But it's one of those things. I say I still enjoyed it overall. Like, my overall thoughts were, this was fun. I think it delivered the comedy that I wanted from the trailer. Again, it didn't nail every joke, but I never expect a comedy to do that. And I think if I look at the sum of all the jokes by the end of it, it was worth watching for me. So I had a good time from a comedic aspect. But I just really would have liked more horror. I really would have liked more threat and more kind of just memorable horror. Because aside from just a dude walking around with a crossbow, I'm struggling to remember like anything he did. Like, I remember at one point our characters were just like stuck in a... like a ventilation shaft for ages, and nothing really happened. The killer was just kind of walking around doing nothing.
They were just like watching the killer and like being incredibly loud, and the killer knew they were there, but then they just didn't really, nothing really happened.
Yeah, so like stuff like that is frustrating, because it takes
away from...
Our
character could have got stabbed like a few more times, like through the ventilation shaft, and then having to keep quiet and stuff.
every time
the little pokey thing went through, it hit him and not the other characters. It would have been brilliant.
I think, again, I know we keep bringing it up, but like, that is the difference. Is like, in Scary Movie, the killer is constantly trying to hurt people and does constantly really hurt people or kill them. But he always does it in comedy ways. You know, you think about the girl getting interviewed when she's being stabbed to death. Like, there's so many, there's like 10 examples of that, of like funny kills or the killer doing funny shit. Mm. And yeah, like, I wish there was more of that, because the killer is ultimately, when he is just this masked presence walking and talking, he's very boring and dull. He doesn't even have any funny quips or anything, and he could play into like the black stuff more interestingly, because everyone else is so self-aware and so like poking fun at all the tropes and everything. And I really liked that, like the Kool-Aid joke early on was so great, and just all of these different references and stuff. But yeah, the killer needed to be either part of that or, like I say, a genuine threat, and they ultimately just didn't really do anything with it. But yes, I still enjoyed this, but it's not something that I'll like, you know, massively remember because of the lack of horror. But I guess do you want to do your sort of final thoughts and recommendations?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, you know, talking about it on a horror podcast, like, you've got to first look at the horror. And yeah, I absolutely wouldn't be recommending it as a horror movie for people to watch that listen to this show. But I also would say that, yeah, this is not, absolutely not trying to be a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, would I recommend it as a comedy? And I just think, you know, comedy is so subjective, more subjective than horror, and in a lot of ways, because, you know, it's just what you find funny. And
I genuinely think it's the most subjective thing, is whether or not you find something funny or not. It's like, it's almost unexplainable.
Exactly. And for me, this didn't land. Like, this, the jokes in the trailer were good. There was very few beyond that. And so, yeah, for me, I wouldn't recommend this as a comedy that I enjoyed either. You know, I wasn't sat there watching it laughing my head off. Mm. You know, like I say, it became a snigger to no reaction, you know, just straight reaction just throughout the whole thing, to just eye roll and thinking this is just a bit dumb. So yeah, I wouldn't recommend it as a comedy either. And I think, you know, I did just find it just didn't move the needle for me, really. I think for me, the whole journey was just very flat, where I wasn't entertained, but I also wasn't just pissed off. It just kind of happened. And as I got like an hour in, I was like, oh, okay, this is what it is. And then it started to become a bit of a slog because I knew that it just wasn't going to move the needle for me either way.
Yeah. That sounds like a lot of films we've seen this year.
It really does. No, it really does. Like, I just feel like that's the story of this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, for me, this,
I want to be offended at this point. Like, I want something to, like,
just
at least Saw is going to evoke emotion. Like, there's not a chance that we can get out of this Saw movie and we just be like, yeah, we're emotionless.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I've just seen so many movies that have washed over me, and I think that's why this one is different for me, because whilst I pretty much agree with everything you said, like, I can't recommend this as a horror film, absolutely not. What I will say is, like, watch the trailer, and obviously if it's your type of comedy, I definitely think it's worth a watch. I think it's something that you probably don't have to seek out in terms of, you know, seeing it at the cinema or going out of the way, because I'm sure this will end up on, like, this has got Netflix written all over it. So if it ends up on one of those subscription services, it's a much easier watch than it is right now. Because, yeah, I'm glad I saw this, but it's one of those difficult ones of, like, I'm glad I spent 90 minutes watching this. I had a good time, but I couldn't recommend it as a horror film. And then as a comedy, that's so subjective that, like I say, it didn't land for you as much as it did for me. Mm. And we have very similar tastes in a lot of things. Yeah. So let alone people that have very dramatically different tastes. Like,
yeah, that just does totally sum up, you know, comedy. Yeah. Where, like, you know, we've done over 300 shows, and it's rare for our opinion to be, you know, different. But then the second you get into, like, comedy, it's like, yeah, it becomes so subjective, even when you have very similar tastes.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, it's a hard one. I say I'm glad I watched it, but I don't think it's one people massively need to seek out, and it's not going to be one that people will remember as, like, oh, it's another one of those great films of the year 2023. And I think it's sad because I'm struggling to remember any films, you know, like you say, apart from these handful of, like, and I really could count on one hand of, like, these impactful, probably not even just horror, like, impactful films I've seen this year. I could probably count on one hand, and, like, that's a shame. And again, there are some bangers, but there probably is only like five. Oh yeah, don't get me wrong, like, movies like Oppenheimer and Scream and stuff like that, like, Mission Impossible, like, I love these films, but yeah, there's those three and maybe a couple more. Like, there's really not a huge amount.
I think it's just those three, mate.
Well, those are probably my favorite three. But I loved Unwelcome. Obviously, I watched the menu this year, which I thought was fantastic as well. But then you're already getting to, like the menu is not anywhere near the level of those.
No, you're
getting
to, like, B tier at that point, but, like, good.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's going to be a fun top 10 this year for sure. It's wide open.
Yeah, it's like, how many places can we put The Last of Us in our top 10 at this point?
I mean,
if we count each episode as a film.
Yeah, okay, well, that's our top 10, done.
Because then how many episodes was it? Please tell me there was like 9 episodes, because we could just have Scream and 9
episodes.
I think
it was even like 8 or 9, wasn't it?
I think it was 8 or 9, which is perfect, either way.
I think it was like 8.
Yeah.
So, eight, you know, we're sorted.
Yeah.
At least then we get. Yeah. Oh, no. There was 10. No,
was there actually?
Right. No, that's not right. Oh, that's fantastic. There was 9.
Yeah.
So there's 10 on IMDb because they just have a placeholder for season 2. That was why I said 10. So, yeah, there's. Well, there you go. You don't have to tune in for year end now, guys.
Yeah, there's our top 10.
I mean, it's just the order of the episodes and where does Scream fit into the 10 as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoiler alert, Scream doesn't get number 1.
What would be funny is, though, like, what episode would be number 1?
Well, exactly. That's what I mean. And where would Scream rank? Like, would
you've got the first episode, you've got the Bill and Frank episode, you've got the last episode. You got that the episode in Jackson is one of my favorites. Oh, I know. This is the podcast right now. You know, you gotta just know where it goes.
It was the episode in Jackson for me. That was the one I watched the most.
I think that was my favorite because it was like, obviously they pulled so much from part 2, and knowing that they, hearing Neil talk about it and knowing how much they wanted Jackson in the original game and how they literally built it as well, they just didn't have time to get it in the final game. I'm like, oh, it's so awesome seeing it there where it should have been in the first place.
And it was when you got Joel became Joel. He became Ellie's parental figure in that episode.
Oh, Tommy is so good in that episode as well. Like, oh, yeah. So good. I need to rewatch that.
I definitely think that's my number one.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's the one I watch the most.
Yeah, sure. I'm looking forward to it. Like, I barely rewatched any of them, so.
Yeah, I rewatched them all multiple times, and that one I probably watched half a dozen times in that week.
That's crazy.
Like, I lost my fucking mind when Last of Us was on. Like, yeah. Absolutely lost my mind.
Definitely.
But I have got the 4K set here, but I just don't want to do it. Because same. I know when I do that rewatch, I then have to wait until 2030.
Yeah, I know. I need to figure out some way of, like, I'll watch it and then I'll play the games. But, like, I've played the games so recently and, like, the games are so further from the TV show. Yeah, I know. That's what I need to do. Yeah, it's just waiting for all these shows now. I know we mentioned it at the start of the show as well, but, like, oh, it's going to be painful. Like, I think that's the thing is I want to forget. Because I love The Last of Us. It makes perfect... Like, I'm not desperate for it because I already have Part 2 in a different form. And also, technically, if they waited 4 or 5 years, it would actually be the best thing for the story. Like, obviously, as a fan, I want it now. But let's just say they waited 4 years.
Bella a bit more.
Yeah, like, it would be perfect for the show. And it would give them time to really nail something that is going to be an almost impossible task in adapting that second game as well.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Are we still in the movie review right now?
We are,
now?
Yeah.
The wrap up.
Yeah, we are. This is our discussion on The Blackening. Can you not tell?
Oh, shit. I don't know anymore. I really don't know.
But yeah, that was our discussion on The Blackening. We'll take a quick break and we will be right back. So yeah, now we're back.
Oh, it gets kooky, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. You know, we've got to keep ourselves entertained at some point.
Yeah, because these fucking movies don't, so something's got to.
Hey, this one was good. I like this one more.
I tell you what doesn't entertain me as well. Do you want to know what doesn't entertain me?
I'd love to know what doesn't entertain you.
Yeah, American Horror Story.
Oh, damn it.
I'm sorry. I decided to watch, especially because season 12 is pretty much premiering today, I think.
Yeah.
but I decided to watch season 11 because I couldn't bear to, like, have a gap.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a great season.
You watched the whole thing?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
At least you caught up now. And did you watch all of that bloody spin-off as well?
Yes, mate.
God, you're a psychopath.
Sometimes I can be a machine.
Your ability to watch TV is like, I can't even fathom it.
Yeah, well, you know, watch is a strong word.
Yeah.
But it's certainly there in the room, and I'm in the same room. I'd say that much for it. But
yeah,
I found this season disappointing. I found the horror to be very light. There was, I remember, like, thinking when I was watching it how light the horror was, and then there was a jump scare that really got me in, like, one of the later episodes, and I was like, oh, yeah, it still can do it. It can still do it. But I think I got to about episode 3, and I suddenly realized what the end game was. Like, there was this clear message that they were going for, and it was a clear... I don't want to spoil it in case you do watch it, but like, oh, your message is this, and all of the events are just going to be centered around what that message is. And I was like, oh, god damn it, please don't be right. And then when I got to the beginning of the finale, and I was like, motherfucker, that's exactly what it is. And like, the season ends in episode 9. And then episode 10 is basically them just, like, playing a song, going, like, we fucking did it. Here's our message for, like, 40 minutes. Like, oh, did we trick you? We fucking tricked you. And I was just sat there the whole 40 minutes going, you fucking didn't. I saw this coming a mile off, and I can't believe that you've now put a 40-minute episode kind of, like, haha, we did it. We tricked you, and this is our cool message. That, honestly, it triggered me. But yeah, I just didn't find it an enjoyable season. Like, and it's, you know, I can't talk about like too much of the plot without spoiling it, but it is kind of like this killer that's going around killing people in the gay community, and this kind of reporter and cop who are a couple that are kind of trying to unearth what's going on with like a bunch of other characters, and the subplot is that there's like this contagion that's going around and this virus that's affecting these animals and starting to show in people as well. And kind of, it's got these two different parallel storylines, and it's, you know, early doors. I, you know, when I watched the first couple of episodes, I was like, oh, I wonder how they're going to be linked together. And then, like I say, when it clicked, I was like, oh, God damn it. Please don't do that. And yeah, they absolutely did. Mm. So yeah, I found it very disappointing.
Yeah.
One of my least favorites.
Yeah. Really? So yeah, it's like
three.
Right. Like, I'm trying to think, other than Roanoke, I can't remember a season that I like disliked.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to remember. And then I'm trying to think, because Roanoke was the one with the house, wasn't it? Like in the middle of nowhere. Like,
yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, I think I like that more.
Really? Christ. I can't even fathom it. Like a season of TV as bad as that, there's no way I'm finishing. Like, I would watch like an episode and be done. But I do want to give it a shot, because like I say, it is weird for me that there's this one season that I've not seen. But then to be fair, it's going to be two seasons soon, because I'm guessing are you going to watch the new one?
Yeah, like, I'm ready, because that's the thing. Like, I was excited to delve into this, and it just did not, you know, grip me at all. And so I'm excited to see what the new season might hold. You know, it might, I think with American Horror Story, it's much better to binge watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think like, I do not see a world where I could have watched the season 11 weekly and got to the end of it. But the fact that I could do it in like three sittings, yeah. You know, it was how I got through it. So like, I want them to build up a bit. I think I'd like to at least get to like the, like, I don't even know. I couldn't tell you what episode was the Halloween episode.
Mm, yeah. That's been consistent with the last few seasons though.
Yeah. Which is a shame.
Yes. Like, I'm not really in the mood for it, so I don't think I'm going to watch it. And I want to be excited for American Horror Story again. Like, long-term listeners will know how much I used to love the show. And it's not like it dramatically fell off. It was just a case of, I don't know whether I grew out of it. And certainly that mini series, you know, the American Horror Stories didn't help things.
Yeah, I think that took the wheels off altogether for you.
Yeah, well, like, seeing that, and obviously seeing like a lot of familiar cast members and stuff, and it made it less fun for me. It made it a lot more less exciting to be, you know, enthused for a new season of American Horror Story. I think I loved Apocalypse, like season 8. I remember looking forward to that for so long, and kind of them tying up a lot of these loose ends from season 1 and Murder House. Like, that for me was so special. And it was like a slow decline with like 1984, like, started well, and then for me just fizzled out. And then Double Feature, I can't really remember anything about that. It was like, oh, it was kind of cool, you know, with these like creatures, and like, you know, you take this thing, and if you're talented, you know, it's good for you. Or if you're not, you basically become like a zombie. But like,
I think that was a really good like idea. And I enjoyed the first half of that season. And
I was going to say, yeah, because that was half of it.
Yeah, I hated the second half of the series.
Yeah, because then they just tried to do like an Aliens thing, but and again, like, that could be cool, but they just didn't know what to do with it. So yeah, I want to be in a place to be excited for American Horror Story. I'm just not right now. Yeah, we've got loads of good shit though. Like I say, I'm really excited for Creepshow and obviously Chucky and stuff. But I will briefly mention, but I have just over the past weekend finished my recent rewatch of Lost. Which was a very emotional time for me watching the finale. Every time I get around to it, I just get so excited. And I kind of like, I'd watch the penultimate episode, you know, and leading up to it. And it's like a movie length, you know, it's like an hour and 44 minutes. And I was putting it off like a couple of days because when you watch it, you know you're done at that point. And it really is that, like, God, the second it ends, all I want to do is just watch the first episode again. And, like, I don't have that about anything. And I get why people have that now with their favorite things. And, like, a lot of people do just do that. They just continually roll through it. You know, and whenever you finish, you just go straight back into it. And this was the first time where I was so close to just putting on the first episode. Especially because of how perfectly it ends for me and kind of tying it back to so much of season one that it does almost feel like this continuous time loop that I could just exist in that forever. And I certainly will watch it again. I'll watch the show forever. I don't know
when. Do you think there's a way to watch Lost where you watch the final season first? And well, then there is... start season one, and then get to the point that they push the bomb goes off, and then you just stop.
You could, yeah, like, so there that would be one interesting way, and that would be something like to see the later seasons, which is something that I was looking forward to on this rewatch because I've watched like the early ones more. Even though I do think like season one is probably the best season. But there is, someone has made an edit online which is available in like full HD called Chronologically Lost, and they've edited every single scene of the entire like 120 episodes. And like, it sounds fascinating, but it sounds almost awful because not go into too much spoilers, because I won't start where the show actually starts way in the past.
So but, like, you get,
yeah, like you get all this mad shit and it's like, and obviously you get a lot of stuff in season six that's like, that will be right off the bat. And then you get all of the flashbacks. So you get every single character, because someone said, I think it's like 30 hours until you get on the plane. and it's crazy
that it's that early.
Yeah, and then it's crazy because you then have like, there are so many scenes in Lost that are told from multiple perspectives, so they do a split screen, and they said like on the plane crash it's almost unwatchable because there's like 12 screens on at once. And it's just, it sounds like ridiculous where I'm like, oh, it would be fun to watch Lost in a completely different way. And maybe I'll like give it like, what I really like is the idea of watching all the flashbacks in order. I think that'd be fascinating.
The thing that sounds amazing though, imagine like watching Lost and waiting like 30 hours for that plane crash. Like the second you're in the airport, like you get to the point chronologically that your characters are in the airport, you'd be like giddy with excitement.
Yeah, well, I was reading someone's review of it who had never seen Lost.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I know. Like, I felt so disgusted, like even hearing someone say that. But I was like, this is a unique perspective that I'm glad. Like, I hope no one else in the world has this perspective. But I'm glad that one psycho that did it wrote their thoughts down, because I would like to hear what their opinion is. And they ended up really liking Lost off the back of watching the whole thing, which I thought was interesting. But they said, like, for them, obviously, when you get to the plane crash, you have so much context about every single character. And, like, that is fascinating. It's so funny how there's, like, a lot of scenes that don't work as well. Because, again, I'm not going to spoil anything, but season five
It's not funny that a lot of scenes don't work.
It's not because of Lost, because of watching it chronologically. Like, you know, there's parts where, like, a character will give birth and someone will be in the background watching it who, you know, isn't alive at that time frame. And that's explained in Lost if you watch it properly. But, like, that's not going to make any sense.
There's a reason why it's, you know, the seasons were done the way they were, and you shouldn't watch all of the flashbacks together.
Yeah, like, I'm fascinated by it, and I might put it on and skip through it because I'm curious, but I could never commit that much. Because if I'm going to commit 120 hours or whatever to watching Lost, I'm going to do it the proper way. Like, I almost want to do that again straight away.
I think you should do it that way.
Well, watch the chronological one.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a go.
You got to at least get to the plane crash.
Yeah, it's only 30 hours of my time. But yeah, it's like, it is fascinating. But yeah, to actually talk about properly Lost just very briefly again, like, I talk about it, you know, it's my favorite TV show of all time with an absolute bullet. And I think what it really made me realize rewatching it this time was that, like, Lost might be my favorite thing ever in terms of all entertainment. because I don't have a favorite film. It's too hard for me to call. And I have a few video games, like I default to 2 is my favorite. But it's in that category of like, man, if I could only have one piece of entertainment for the rest of my life, you know, I couldn't pick a film. Like, I don't think I could pick like Death Stranding or Bioshock Infinite above all of Lost. And whilst I don't love all of Lost like I love all of a certain film or all my favorite video games, there's not a single thing I would change. Like, I don't adore every episode of Lost. But the sum of its parts and the absolute highs I get from watching this show is unlike anything else that I've ever experienced.
Do you know what the first thing that popped into my head was then?
What's that?
Like, of all things, what would I, you know, what could I keep? And obviously, first Terminator 2 popped in my head. Obviously.
Yeah, yours has such an easy answer.
Yeah, like, then after that, I was like, okay, but that's so short. Like, if I'm going to only have one thing for the rest of my life.
Yeah, but you can't quantify like want, that. That's not fair.
No. But then I kind of like, and then the next thing that popped in my head was, I'd probably just have Jackass.
That is a great choice.
Like, I got all the TV shows, I got 4 movies.
Oh, yeah, but you're cheating now, though. You can't just have like, all of the TV shows and all of the movies. Nah, that's bullshit.
It's bullshit. You can have, like, The Last of Us.
Yeah, but then, so then it's like, yeah, because then I could just say, well, I'll just have all of Resident Evil. Like, that's cheating.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, like, Lost is like an equivalent. Like, nah, Jackass, man. I just have Jackass.
Because that is the thing with Lost. Like, obviously, it has a game, which I like. Obviously, it's not a great game, but it's a fun game. I love that Lost is this untouched thing. And I think that it won't always be that way in my lifetime. Like, I'm sure I'll live to see some other form of Lost. And whilst I would love for it to be fantastic, like, I think that hitting the same way... I look back of like the most recent Matrix movie, and it's like it's a minor miracle how much I love that film and how much I love the Matrix even more. And that's never going to happen with Lost. Like,
it would be wild to think that they never touch Lost again, but it would also be wild to see like how they could possibly tackle that beast.
Yeah, I think it would just be a straight up remake.
Yeah, but I just, you know, this. You can't just do it. This, you can't just be a 6-season absolute remake.
No,
like, you got to deviate, and then when you deviate, like, that just becomes batshit to me. Like,
yeah,
it's just, I don't know. There's something about Lost that's so difficult to do anything with. Really,
it's also a good thing why, and it's the only positive to come from it, is why the ending and the kind of final season was so mixed. Because I think by the end of it, even the writers and creators were like, we don't know what the fans want from this show anymore. And I say that because, like, I watch it, and for me, it's perfect, and it's all set up so brilliantly, and everything that happens in the final season, and specifically the final episode, is perfectly in line with everything Lost has ever stood for from the first episode. But I know that I'm in the minority. Like, apparently, again, I always think to myself, these must just be quote-unquote haters, or people that didn't get it. But that can't be the case, because so many people watched every single episode of Lost and still came up with the most moronic conclusions on what it was all about. And that just blows me away. And I'm just so happy that that's not my experience of it. But I do think that muddies the water in terms of, like, what would they do? Because they must have said themselves, like, man, we... Like, I would, if I was one of the people that made Lost and made it as perfect as it is, and it had the current reception, I'd be like, I'm never making that shit ever again. Because it's so good, and people don't talk about it in that category. Like, it's crazy to me. But yeah, I love it so much. I even just talking about it now, I'm like, oh, I might just bang on season one.
The thing is, as well, it's so strongly went downhill. You know, I'd say that, like, in terms of, like, the public opinion, that, like, most people I talk to, or almost everyone I talk to, you know, it's almost unanimous that they're like, yeah, the ending sucked. You know, and
that is people just parroting what they've heard rather than their actual opinion?
Well, that's the thing that I find weird. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, I've never met, you know, Dexter was the one that was unanimous, where everyone was like, well, the ending fucking sucked.
Like, Game of Thrones as well, people say the same thing.
Yeah, but I think even with Game of Thrones, like, Game of Thrones is similar to, like, Lost. Like, they're, like I said, I think the TV show that is the most unanimous is Dexter, where it's like, yeah, I don't think there's a person that watched that final, or what was the final season, and was like, yeah, that was good. But I think with Lost and Game of Thrones, then they're the two where it's like, especially because they're much bigger shows than Dexter, you know?
Yeah.
And they were the biggest shows on the planet, and then they just seemingly both fizzled out in the way of public opinion.
Yeah.
To the point that when they ended, everyone was like, yeah, I'm done with that, you know? And Lost was very much that, I felt like. Like, the second Lost ended, we spoke about it for the next 15 years, and no one else, like, that's probably, what, 13 years, isn't it?
Since it ended.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I said 15, I was like, hang on a second, I think it probably is almost that. I thought it was
It's the 20th anniversary next year of when it started. So, I hope they do something, because, again, it's like, for the actual fans out there, which I'm sure there are plenty of them like myself, but it is a weird one. Like, my Lost fandom, I very much, and I already related to it once, but it is like The Matrix to me, where I've always been convinced that there's no one that's a fan of the franchise of The Matrix. People love the first film, but they don't like the franchise, and I'm the only person I've known who loves the franchise.
Here we go, Matrix again.
And similar with Lost, like, I've never had a conversation with someone who's seen every episode that doesn't like it, because I feel like it's what you said of people either parrot that opinion of, it just ended badly because they've heard that, or I guess they just liked it like I did. Like, I want to find that person where I'm like, oh, so you saw it all and you didn't like it. And please tell me why you didn't like it, because I'm open to hearing an opinion. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I just want to hear why. Because
it didn't make a lot of sense and nothing was answered.
Yeah, which, I mean, but the thing is, if you just say, like, oh, it's because they were dead the whole time, I'm like, oh, okay, you're a moron. So the conversation ends.
What people say to me is, they're like, oh, yeah, nothing was answered and, you know,
like, it didn't really make sense at the end. Like, I just can't, like, it's so...
I don't
think
you should talk to people, that you know... That's
no, I don't, the good thing is I don't.
No, exactly, like, in general, you shouldn't talk to people, and you absolutely shouldn't talk to people about Lost.
No, I definitely shouldn't.
No,
like you say, like it's only the creators I could talk to, and even then, I feel like I've been pissed off in the past when they've been negative about their own work. Like, they were very self deprecating. I remember about Lost after those few years after it.
Are you talking to someone outside of me about Lost? Is like Doctor Strange when he comes back, and there's only one possibility where you don't get in a fight.
That's what I really want to hear the sane opinion of someone who saw all of Lost and didn't like it. I really want to find
them insane, and then they'll start calling you insane, and then you're gonna get into a fight every time.
That's what I mean, because you know it doesn't exist. Like, you know that no sane person could have that opinion, because it's a perfect show.
Well, I mean, I'm not arguing that it's not, because I love it as well.
So. Yeah, but it's not even, it's like, oh, yeah, we just have bad taste or something. It's like, I'm telling you now, I've just watched it again. It's perfect. Like, it's so perfect. Like, and I don't understand how anyone who can call themselves a fan for that long could, again, would you really watch six years of the show?
What are we doing next week?
So we're starting our Lost retrospective. We're starting with the pilot. No, this is always going to happen.
There's not a chance in hell that we're doing a Lost retrospective before we do a Terminator 2 rewatch. Yeah. I'm just putting it out there.
It was funny how this all started with The Leftovers last year, because obviously I watched that for the first time and loved it so much, and the only thing I could fill that void was with rewatching Lost.
Or watch from.
Yeah, well, I could do that, but the funny thing is, I did my typical Google search.
I don't think it's funny. I think it's just going to make me angry.
I did my typical Google search of, like, what's Damon Lindelof been up to, and he co-created a TV show that came out this year.
Honestly, if you watch that fucking show...
I'm definitely going to watch it
before you watch it. You're such a piece of shit.
Of course, mate, he's never missed. He's had three... Now, to be fair, he co-created this one, so... Which, to be fair, he did with Lost, whereas obviously Leftovers and The Watchmen were, like, purely him. But yeah, and it doesn't sound remotely like my cup of tea, but I'm definitely going to watch it because the man never misses. But yeah, I'm glad now, because there's so much in October that I'm looking forward to that's new stuff. So I like haven't got this ongoing thing that's taken up a lot of time. But then, yeah, I want to, you know, I'm probably just going to go back to that. Like, I'm a creature of habit, like you are, like we all are with our comfort foods. And like for me, there's nothing better than just watching Lost. So yeah, had a great time with it. When was the last time you watched Lost? Has it been a while?
A while. Yeah, a hot minute. Like, it's definitely, I'm definitely overdue a rewatch, but it's kind of exciting because I'm like, because I haven't seen it for so long, it will be a lot more fresh.
It was for me as well. Like, I've forgotten so much.
Yeah. And so, like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, the longer I go, the better it's going to be. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Is that psychopathic to think that way?
No, because when I was watching it, like, one of my favorite characters is Desmond. And if you'd asked me last week, like, what is the final thing that happens to him in the timeline? I didn't know the answer. And so that was exciting to me of, like, I was going into the finale still not fully remembering every single conclusion of the character's journey. So that was awesome. But yeah, such a good time. But yeah, that was episode on The Blackening. That was fun, wasn't it?
That was a while ago.
Yeah. It was. If you're still out there, God bless you. We'll be back for some horror. We might actually talk about some horror on this horror podcast at some point. Unless you want to just tell us why, like, Terminator 2 is the greatest movie of all time.
Are you trolling me at this point? Like, we're 4 hours in. Like, ask that question next time.
So when Gandalf comes back as Gandalf the White, like, what's going on there? Like...
Right, I guess I'm closing the episode this week, so...
I can see why you do this now, it's really fun. But yeah, that was the episode. Thanks for listening, we'll see you next week.
See you later, everyone. Shut up, I can't. Mainly because I never could. How could I start?